I 78, believe that all my thoughts are mine, but may be formed due to previous discussions and agreements that I am not aware of consciously. Occasionally, I find myself feeling very odd. I call this condition La La Land, which may last for only an hour or for days. I find it difficult to function in La La Land, requiring much more concentration than normal. I may feel dizzy, my own voice sounding odd and distorted. Everything feels slower, my surroundings sharper and brighter, yet somehow distorted. Reality seems distorted, in sense and shape. I feel as if I am inside a fishbowl, looking out at a world I don't quite understand. I believe that La La Land exists when I have each foot in two different dimensions at the same time, when there is so much ET activity that I slip back and forth too easily between worlds. I have learned to pay attention to random thoughts at such times as they often turn out to be premonitions. I am much more intuitive when I'm gone, that is, in La La Land. The frequency and intensity of this particular type of experience has mellowed lately to a slow hum. Now, when it occurs, I feel more like a simple airhead than like a stranger in my own environment. More recently, I have been experiencing what I call waking dreams, which occur suddenly, lasting for no more than 15 minutes. During these experiences, it seems as if the veil that separates my waking memories from my dream memories drops away, creating a very different perspective on reality. New information floods in, too quickly for my brain to sort and file. I cannot create this waking dream state, but I am able to just let it happen whenever it does catch me by surprise. So, am I glad that all of this has happened to me? That's like asking if I'm glad to be alive. At times, I still question the sanity of it all. But would I have it any other way? Not a chance. Through my ET experiences, I have gained many tools that continue to add new dimensions to the way I think, feel, and live. I am quite content. Since recovering from the car accident, I find myself living as a normal human being. The contrast between my life before the accident and my current life is immense. Before, the ET phenomenon was my total focus, the business of being an ET experiencer was my full-time job. I traveled all over to meetings, organized annual picnics for experiencers, ran a support group, on and on. After the accident, I had no choice but to focus on my own healing. And I met a very normal, very grounded guy, now my husband, who helps me to stay grounded. Going to college, too, means that there is not much time left over for anything else. But I am not so sure how long this quiet time in my life will last. During my experience in the rip in time and space, I understood that I would no longer need to struggle for survival, that all of my material and physical needs would be taken care of so that I could get on with what I came here to do. This has proven to be the case. But honestly, I still don't know exactly what it is that I am supposed to be doing. 80. One time, I received a very important message, "Everyone's got to go." I argued with this voice, saying out loud, "There's no way. Too many people are clueless." Again, I heard the message, "Everyone's got to go." I cannot even begin to explain all that I have learned because of this simple message. It is a very tall order, but I believe that it is the job of many of us to help the clueless get clued in. Hopefully, sharing my own healing ET experiences will be of some help in this regard. Chapter 5. Ron Blevins, Recovery from Depression and Nightmares. Ron Blevins is of Nati. Ron Blevins is of Native American descent and, at one time, resided on an Eastern Cherokee reservation in the Smoky Mountains of North Carolina. He now lives in Northern Virginia, within 10 miles of where he was born. Ron has been in the security business for some 20 years and currently works for a biomedical research firm in metropolitan Washington. He is 48 years old. Ron agreed to an interview after hearing about the book project from his friend and fellow experiencer, Melanie Green, see Chapter 6. A somewhat reserved person, Ron never seemed to fully relax during the course of our discussions, yet provided a detailed and richly revealing account in his orderly, precise, and matter-of-fact style. Have been trained in the Native American traditional beliefs for most of my life. I have also had interactions with these beings for as far back as I can remember, beings who have communicated that their place of origin is the Alpha Centauri star system, which is some 4.3 light years away, a close neighbor. But I was not comfortable with them for years and years. And, even during times when I was not having one-on-one interactions with these beings, there were insistent periods of telepathic communication in which they were trying to communicate. This occurred, to different degrees, all of my life. Then, on September 14, 1989, a healing took place that was kind of remarkable. I had served in the U.S. Army in the late 1960s, and spent 1970 in Vietnam. Like many others, I came back from Vietnam with some adjustment problems, which developed into a fairly severe case of post-traumatic stress disorder. As a result of that and of the shift work I was doing at the time, I developed a very acute sleep disorder. I reached the point where I had not had a full night's sleep in over 15 years. I could not sleep for more than a couple of hours without awakening from really horrific nightmares concerning events that had taken place in Vietnam. Eventually, I was treated for this condition as an outpatient at the Veterans Administration, VA, medical facility in Washington, D.C. I also had a severe skin disorder that I had picked up in Vietnam that was diagnosed as fine erysipelas. This condition resulted in large red patches of skin that resembled burns on my torso, particularly on the chest and back, and in the neck area. Although they could not explain why I still had this condition so many years after returning from the tropics, the VA benobied it and prescribed several medications for it. None of them had an effect, and it continued to get worse. The VA had just about given up on both counts, and the sleep problem had become so acute that it was definitely having an effect on my daily life. Acute sleep deprivation is a very serious thing, in that it begins to manifest various other symptoms during the day. I began to have uncontrolled blackouts for periods of time. Now, this had gone on and become worse over a period of several years. It had affected my personal relationships. I was living with someone at the time who, between the nightmares and the other things, found it all rather overwhelming and moved out. So the whole situation had deteriorated up until September of 1989 to the point where I was very depressed, had not slept for extended periods of time, and was just at my wit's end. Prior to this, I had not had a great deal of interaction with the beings for some time. This made the event that unfolded even more surprising. One night, I found myself alone in my apartment with the lights out. I was sitting in the dark in a chair, trying to figure out where things were going to go from there. Things were falling apart around me, and I was trying to figure out something I could do to address these problems. It is difficult to describe exactly what happened, but I thought perhaps I had passed out. At this point, I was using alcohol as a sedative and I had been 84, drinking that evening, although I was not intoxicated. After this experience, I immediately quit using alcohol as a sedative because it was no longer necessary. Suddenly, a light appeared in the room. I was amazed. It took me completely by surprise. And I was somewhat horrified to see in this light, standing in the room, one of the beings, a being I had seen off and on during my life, one of the very tall extraterrestrial beings. These beings are not your typical 4-foot greys. They are very tall, between 6 and 7 feet. They are humanoid, but certainly not human in appearance. They are not thin. They are robust individuals with a very stocky or muscular build. Their appearance is almost intimidating. They have an overwhelming aura about them. They look somewhat fearsome, but this is because of their size and inhuman features, counteracted by a very solemn, benign approach in their interactions. Their skin coloring tends to be a beige or light tan. They do have the typical large black eyes. Very, very intense, large, dark eyes. And they have a very distinctive, almost scaly appearance with raised ridges above the eyebrows and around the very small mouth opening. They have a hand that is not dissimilar to our own, but the fingers tend to be much longer, and the hand is much larger. They do have an opposable thumb. As I said, they're humanoid bat eye, not human. To say the least, I was kind of shocked to see this being, and not a little bit terrified. The being communicated telepathically with me. And it was as if I began to be shown a holographic screen or a holographic image, almost as though they were pointing a film projector at the wall. On this screen, I saw a series of images depicting the various nightmares I had been having. And the being was saying to me, "You know, this can be addressed. This need not happen." At that point, I must have passed out. This is the only way I can describe it. Or perhaps I entered into a state of altered consciousness, because something occurred so that the nightmare images that were being shown on the wall changed, and it was as though I was having the nightmare. It was as though I was asleep and beginning to have one of the recurring nightmares. I found myself in a dark alley, a blind alley that led to a dead end. I was looking out to the open end of the alley, the end that opened onto the street. It was night, and it was raining. I could see this crowd of people, the people from my nightmares, all crowding into the open end of the alley. The people in my nightmares were usually friends of mine who had died in Vietnam, or enemy soldiers who had been killed, all torn and mutilated as a result of their injuries. They would be walking in a very stiff way toward me. This is the nightmare that had been repeated, over and over again for years and years. I realized instantly that there was no escape this time. I was obviously trapped. At this point, I felt a presence behind me in the underscore closed off end of the alley. I turned and looked over my shoulder. It was this same being. And he said, "This need not occur any longer. We can address this." And then he said, "In order for you to address this problem, you must look to the real source of the problem. The real source of the problem is that you have a distorted view of reality. These people are not pursuing you. And we are not pursuing you. You have fled from them, and from us all your life. And you have reacted in fear to us all of your life. You must acknowledge the reality of what occurred there in Vietnam. And you must acknowledge our reality in order for us to assist you." They use a very stilted, formal, telepathic type of language. The nature of their telepathic communications is very odd, very distinctive. The communications themselves are almost archaic. They use many expressions and structures of speech that relate more underscore to Old English or the Middle Ages than to our present way of communicating ideas. They use a great many symbolic illustrations or parable-like expressions. See example, note 1, page 310. So, I was saying to myself, there is no escape from this place. There is no escape from any of this. I've got the two greatest fears of my life here, hemming me in this alley. In desperation, I made a decision. I said, "What do I have to do to set things straight?" The being replied, "You have to acknowledge our reality before we can assist you." I said, "How do I do that?" And he replied, "Human beings acknowledge what is real to them when it is real to the touch. Very simply, you have to touch one of us. I'll be perfectly honest, these beings are very imposing in appearance. I hesitate to use the word reptilian because of the negative connotations, but this is the way they put it. They say that they have more physiological characteristics in common with a species similar to reptilian origin than mammalian origin. They do not call themselves reptilian. They seem to have features of both reptiles and mammals, or they are related to what we would assign to these life forms. Similar to is the expression they use." The being reached out his hand toward me, showing me that it was real. And he said, "If you would acknowledge our reality, then touch the reality that we are." This didn't particularly appeal to me. But it was more appealing and less fearful than what I was faced with. In a situation with no escape, it was the better of the two options. So I did it. I touched this being's hand. I turned around and touched the hand, very carefully avoiding the being's eyes. The instant I touched this being's hand, there was a brilliant burst of light. And I woke up, in the living room of my apartment. There was no one there, no sign of anything. It was dark. 88. I got up and turned on the light. I felt different. It struck me immediately, I felt absolutely different. It took me a few minutes to realize in what way, I felt different because I was no longer depressed, I was no longer afraid. I went to bed almost immediately. And I slept for a full night for the first time in over 15 years, a full night's sleep with no nightmares. That was on September 14, 1989. I have not had a nightmare since. And, oddly enough, the severe case of tiny reversicolor began to recede almost immediately, and disappeared within a week. It has not recurred since. This was followed by another change. It was as though I had crossed the threshold of fear. Things took on a totally different orientation. The experience basically altered my whole perspective. In terms of fear, my whole outlook became different. I began to have interactions with these beings on a fairly regular basis. The nature of my previous interactions had always been fearful, something I had resented and felt was an intrusion into my life. They had challenged my worldview, in that I could find no place for these beings in the reality that I knew. I now took on a whole different perspective, and the nature of the interactions began to change. The beings began to instruct me in various abilities that they themselves had. They would describe how there were many innate abilities in human beings that were generally untapped. They would describe and demonstrate these abilities, including such things as psychic abilities, out-of-body travel, and healing. They actually began to describe their technology, and how that could be applied to the healing of individuals. Since that time, I have experienced an enormous increase in psychic abilities. This is due to the fact that I was curious enough to try what they were instructing me in. It was all so detailed. It made so much sense. And it has worked. For example, there have been healings of individuals with the methods that the beings have described to me. Also, another example is that I've been awakened several times in the middle of the night with images to be drawn. One time, I was awakened at 2 o'clock or 3 a.m. with the insistent image in my mind of the face of one of the beings. And I was being told, "You need to draw this image." Well, I'm not an artist, but it was so insistent that I finally got up and attempted it. And at the end of an hour or so, I was totally aghast. Because there it was. So my artistic ability is another thing that seems to have been enhanced since the encounter. Most of the technology and the methods the beings have described is based on energy work, and on the use of the energy fields of various crystalline forms. The beings say that the majority of their technology is based on the manipulation of natural energetic fields of crystalline forms. Odd as it may sound, within the next year one was led to a deposit of quartz crystals. I was shown the location of these crystals in Northern Virginia, given 90. The location telepathically. Then I went to the location and literally had to dig into the bank of a dry stream, where I found this deposit of quartz crystals numbering in the hundreds, several of which were fairly large. I've lived in Northern Virginia almost all my life and I've collected rocks, but I found this quartz deposit totally strange. They were not so much embedded in rock as they were loose in a vein. They were embedded in this blue-green marine-type clay-like substance. So, I recovered these crystals, probably in excess of 500 of them. And I began to have dreams. I call them dreams, but I doubt very seriously that's what they are. These dreams would occur in an altered state, in which the beings would describe the technology connected with crystalline forms. They even went so far as to inform me that they had interacted with Native American populations for several millennia before the Europeans arrived, and that they had taught some of this technology in its basic forms to the Native Americans. The beings always offer documentation, so they told me, "If you will research in your traditions and in some of the early documents of European explorers, you will find examples or evidence of the fact that they were using this technology." I did some historical research and I found examples of the recovery of abnormally large skeletal remains buried with large quartz crystals in the mounds in the eastern US. I was told that I would be instructed as to how to use these crystals for the purpose of energy transfer, for healing and that sort of thing. But I was also told not to keep the crystals, but to give them away to individuals who would want them and need them. They did not say, "Now, here's a list." They said, "The individuals will request them." And they have. All I'm doing is giving them away, through a sort of networking effect. So far, several hundred have been given away all over the country. I tell each individual who receives one how the crystals were found, and I describe the uses that have been explained to me by the beings, and how the crystals might best be utilized. I do take pains to explain that they are not a magical amulet or anything of that nature. And that these crystals are, more than anything else, an amplification device. By interfacing one's own energy field and correlating that with the energy field in the quartz crystal, a person can amplify their own natural abilities to do certain things, such as out-of-body travel, such as telepathic communication, such as healing, the transfer of energy for healing purposes. I use one particular crystal for healing purposes, and I have used it to a great extent with individuals who have expressed needs in that regard. There have been definite healings in people who have requested assistance. I have used the crystal in order to transfer energy to these individuals, to augment their own energy. Melanie Green, for example, see Chapter 6, is a close friend of mine. Melanie has had various fiscal problems that she has requested assistance for, if there was anything that could be done. She suffers from migraine headaches, and there have been times when she has been completely out of energy, and energy was transferred. Also, she was scheduled for surgery for a gallbladder problem. I said I would see what could be done. She woke up in the middle of the night, knowing that the situation had been corrected. She still hasn't needed the surgery. I hesitate to say that I did something. All I did was to use the methods the beings described, in order to transfer energy to the individual in need. I believe that the beings who brought the information in the first place, they have something to do with the healings. I believe that they are aware and that they assist. I spent a good many years trying to write off all the encounter experiences that occurred. But a lot of the experiences early in my life occurred in a conscious state. They were not recovered memories, the result of regression or anything of that nature. So I did not have the luxury of being able to completely write off these experiences. In one case, I had been told during an encounter with the beings that they would come that night to take me somewhere. That very night in a fully awake state, my three brothers and I observed this spacecraft outside a house. I was, of course, scared to death, and hid inside the house. This was in 1964, when I was about 15. My brothers didn't know what I knew, because I did not tell them about my encounters. But the spacecraft was real enough because all three of them stood and watched it for about half an hour. They even reported it to the police and to a local radio station. And there were other reports by individuals in the area who saw the object. So, I had had these sorts of incidents. I had had many conscious experiences that verified the reality of the situation. But nevertheless, I was very resistant to it. And there was a time in my life when I wouldn't have breathed a word about any of these experiences to anyone. I don't want to give the impression that I came to a point where I said, "Okay, I'll blindly accept and believe whatever happens from here on out." That's not me. I am not a person who accepts something just because somebody says it. I look upon myself as a realist. I was very skeptical for a very long time. After the event in 1989, when the most intense torment I can describe and the years of living in terror were removed almost instantaneously by whatever source, I was put into a position where I had to acknowledge the reality of what had occurred. But, to be perfectly honest, I have tried every way possible to disprove what the beings have told me since. Yet, I cannot argue with the results. The results seem to assist so many people that I would feel I was doing a disservice by not sharing the information with others at this point. From the very beginning, the beings were very insistent that they wanted me to communicate to other people, both the knowledge of their existence and the information they seem to want to pass on for the benefit of humankind. These beings seem to be benign. They do not seem to want to create fear. But the beings readily acknowledge that direct, physical contact is not feasible. They know what our reactions will be, since we all live in a state of fear. If I have a mission, I think it can be summed up in this way. Humankind in general is reaching the point in development where we are getting ready to come into contact with other civilizations, and I believe that many individuals, who are commonly called abductees, are being prepared for this contact in certain ways by being given certain information and experiencing interaction with these other beings. The purpose is to help humankind as a whole to understand what is happening. It is like we are slowly being exposed to this other advanced civilization or civilizations through a measured approach. L, for one, can certainly understand why these beings haven't just jumped onto the stage. It would be overwhelming for the human population. So I can see a rhyme and a reason in the way the beings are doing the things they are doing. For example, one of the purposes of the crystals as described by the beings is to enhance telepathic communications between themselves and the individuals who use these crystals. I cannot tell you how many people who have received these crystals have reported afterward that they have had very lucid, vivid dreams of the beings. So that seems to be part of their purpose, that is, initiating interactions. And these beings have also communicated the need for change not only to myself, but to many other individuals. This information is something that is common to the experience of many abductees. I think that the beings are here for the purpose of assisting us in making these changes, a transition. I think I have gone through this transition. It was a long process, but I have come to the point where I see the validity of what they have attempted to communicate to me over the years. The primary impediment to more open communication is the huge reservoir of fear that humans retain within themselves. Fear of anything that is unknown, unusual, or unfamiliar. If we can overcome this threshold of fear, a fear that so many of our perspectives are based on, we will have an entirely different sort of interaction with these beings. I would like to add that even the beings themselves have indicated that there exist those civilizations that are negatively aligned. The beings do acknowledge that all is not peace and love in the universe. Just as there are human beings who are evil and human beings who are not, the same is true for other, extraterrestrial civilizations. All beings with soul, as the beings call it, have free will, and the ability to exercise that free will. 96 Celestial Healing. The communications of the beings on the subject of free will have been interesting. They have emphasized that one must be aware of one's free will in order to exercise it. If one pictures oneself as a helpless victim, if one operates within fear, one will predispose oneself to being taken advantage of by those beings in those energies that are negatively aligned. It is vital to exercise one's free will if one has an experience with negative entities or energies. It is a universal law that free will cannot be overridden. But one may default on one's free will. A helpless victim has no choices, no free will. So, their experiences will be imposed on them. That was the whole point of what the beings did for me in terms of the nightmares. Their whole point in eliminating them for me was an object lesson. You can never outrun fear. You must confront the fear. You must cross the fear threshold. Once you do this, the fear no longer has power over you. I have learned this lesson in a very real way. I know that there are individuals who have negative experiences, fearful experiences with extraterrestrials of one type or another. I know this occurs. But a lot of the experiences that are fearful in nature perhaps arise from our own inability to understand what is happening. At least, that has been my experience. I cannot presume to speak for others' experiences. All I can say is, what I have come to understand is the result of a long and arduous process. And it has certainly transformed my perspective, my outlook, my life. Curious, I asked Tron for one of his crystals. A tiny purplish shard, the crystal he gave me looked nothing like the commercial kind sold in New Age shops. I slipped the little crystal into a Ziploc plastic bag, tucked it under my bed pillows, and promptly forgot all about it. For the next several weeks, my dreams were unusually vivid, what I would call realer than real.